Thank you. Praise, they are instant God says that this thing, it ain't over. Take me deeper, deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace.
To be still and listen to him. Amen. Amen. We have several prayer requests. Ask Brother Joe Adams if he'd come open the service for us in prayer. Before we take those, I did just want to mention quickly that there will be some brothers needed to help set up some tables and things after the service tonight in the fellowship hall. If you could help with that, it would be appreciated. But tonight we want to remember to pray for Brother Dennis Simonelli, as he's continuing to need a touch in his body. Also, Brother Alvin Adams needs prayer as he recovers from surgery and a touch there as well. Brother Kenny, Sister Jeannie Camp, want to continue to remember them in prayer tonight. That the Lord would move on their situation. And I have a prayer request that was turned in from Brother Danny Del Mundo. He says, please keep us in your prayers. We're bound for South Korea until the 28th for some mission work there. Pray that the Lord will open some doors continue to open the ones that are continuous, the ones that the Lord has already opened. Just want to remember that need tonight. If you have a need you want to lift to the Lord, say, Father, whatever it is, I want to be still tonight. Amen. Amen. I know that it's not over. It's not over for our family members, for our loved ones. Amen. Amen. Just keep holding on to that promise tonight, Brother Joe.
Amen. Before we turn to prayer, just give you a quick update on my dad. He had surgery yesterday morning. They removed 2/3 of his colon, and they removed 2 cancer tumors from his intestine. So he's doing great. He's just in a lot of pain, but we're happy he's still with us and that they was able to take care of all this before the one intestine ruptured. So we're grateful, and God's mindful. And the surgeon and the staff is taking great care of him over there at Highland. So we just thank the Lord for that. And I just take the needs that you have. We've committed to the Lord. Becky, it's good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. Glad to see you. And let's just trust that God's going to move tonight. You got a need? Just call God to your side. Father, we just bow our hearts to you, Lord. What a great honor it is to be in your presence, Lord. To be still and know that you are God. Lord, when it seems like our life is unraveling, Lord, enemy rages, Lord, storm after storm, attack after attack. Father, you remain constant. And Lord, we can anchor our souls in the haven of rest tonight, trusting, believing, acknowledging, Lord, that nothing that can come by my way, Lord, can harm a child of God. Lord, only as your prophet would tell us, you harness trouble, you put bits in its mouth, and it brings us into a closer fellowship with you. So, Lord, I pray for the outcome of these needs tonight. My dad, particularly, Lord, it'll bring him into a closer relationship. God, he'll experience you like never before, Father. The time they're in the hospital room as he talks to you, Lord, may it be more than just talk. God, may you just come and let your presence be felt. May he feel you, Lord, come in that august presence. Lord, take his pain away, God. Touch him in a mighty way, I pray. God, we pray for Brother Dennis that you'll touch him. Brother Kenny, Lord, that you'll move on his behalf. Lord, you see the pain in his body, Lord. But he's calling upon a mighty God tonight. And Lord, these other requests that were mentioned, we're just asking, Father, you be mindful of them. Every hand that was lifted, Lord, you know the need represented behind that hand. And I just ask, Father, you just come tonight. Use Brother Timothy, Lord. Speak. But speak specifically to needs tonight, Lord. Minister to hearts. Minister to lives. It's not over yet. If there's still a tug in your heart, God's still moving. Still a desire to serve him. You've not gone too far. His grace is sufficient. So, Father, may you just move tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. The brothers can take up the offering tonight. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. Humbled himself and he carried the cross. For love so amazing. Oh, love so amazing. Oh, Jesus Messiah.
And I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline.
Together here.
Your spirit to fall all over me tonight. Revive me, refresh me. Amen. Whatever it takes, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord, I seek you. Help me find you. How I need your touch. Find my drying, broken places.
Oh, I'm thirsty, Lord.
Thirsty for your love.
Oh, can you just say, refresh me, Lord. Forgive me.
Lord, forgive me. If I wander far away from you.
Oh, can you just really tell him tonight, say, Lord, you're all I've ever wanted.
You are all I've ever needed.
Say, Lord, come.
Come and make me new.
Lift us up above the shadows of this life, Father. Let us see, Lord, the sun is up and the blessings of God are pouring down among us. You're fulfilling your word every day, Father. May we see that today, we pray. We commit this service to you for your glory, for your honor, everything be said and done for you. Lord, for your to lift your name on high, Lord, the name that's worthy to be praised, to be glorified, to give all the honor and adoration we could ever give is to the name of Jesus. For For it's by that name we're healed. It's by that name we're saved. It's by that name, Lord, that you came down and you became human flesh and you broke open the cells, and so we can have the same life and the same spirit that you have. God, we're so thankful to have that today at our availability, Lord, to have your life and to have the power of your life and have the blood, Lord, and all the things you provided, all the benefits you give us, Lord. We just want to say thank you for these things. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to Matthew 7, if you would, in the Bibles. Matthew 7 and verse 7. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and be together in his presence. And amen. It says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Amen. We let you be seated. I'd like to speak to you this evening on childlike faith. Just to kind of say on the other side what childlike faith is not. Childlike faith is not ignorance. It's not immaturity. It's not even a blind belief. But childlike faith is confident, is a confident trust that you have a faithful Father. Amen. You know, you think about how, I don't know, I'm sure your fathers have put your child up on a higher spot, maybe on a counter or maybe on top of a car, and ask your child to jump into your arms. Thinking about that, how the child jumps into a father's arms, you know, without fear. You know, they're not standing there calculating how far the jump is or if my dad will catch me or not. But they have a trust. They trust the person that's standing there with his arms outstretched. And you know, Jesus spoke about some things about children, and he likened the kingdom of heaven even to a little child. We can read about it in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. He says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, I think it's interesting that in the middle of the disciples' ambition, God would bring something very innocent. In the middle of their pride, he would place something in front of them, speaking of humility. Something that had dependence, you know, they had this self-importance they had amongst them. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to do this? And he placed something that was very dependent on somebody. As we know, a child is very dependent. They can't drive itself to church, may not be able to, you know, cook its own meal. It's dependent on a mother. It's dependent upon a father. And this is what Jesus was showing. You know, it's not he that's greatest, but it's he that's trust that I'm going to fulfill what I said I'm going to do. You know, Brother Branham would bring it like this. He said, a man that wants to believe, you know, first comes to church, and then he listens to the gospel, and he hears that Christ died for sinners, and then he takes what he hears, and he said he applies that with a common faith. He said that kind of faith that a two-year-old child could use. A two-year-old child could use. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how can I have that faith? He said, it's just as simple as reaching and getting the hyssop. As we know the story of the hyssop in the Bible, they applied it, the blood to the doorpost. He said, getting the hyssop and apply the blood. You believe it for yourself. You believe that Christ died for you. Amen. Not died for somebody else. He died for you. Amen. Believe that he is the innocent one that that died in your place as a sinner, and though you were guilty, the same applies to divine healing. Just simple faith to take God at His word. And you know, He said, but many people tried to complicate it, and they try to make it such a great thing. He said, but it's just two-year-old faith. Two-year-old faith, that a two-year-old child can grab a hold of something and believe God and just take Him at His word. Amen. Amen. I believe as Jesus said it, you know, he said, who would be a father that the man would, or child would ask you, you know, of a piece of bread and you wouldn't here's your stone. Or, you know, or ask something else and you give him a serpent. He said, but you know, you being evil, you even not being converted yet, you know how to give good gifts. He said, how much more trust can you have in me as a child of mine, that I'm going to take care of you, that I'm going to provide for you, that I'm going to catch you when you fall, that if you fall off of a high place, I'm going to be there for you. He's showing you Himself, not only His position, but your position as a son or daughter of God. He said, but see, people try to make it so complicated. He said, that's the way, He said, that's why the great revival broke out in England that time. He said, you know, the Anglican church had come and so complicated the word, and only the educated could understand it. He said, but when the church gets in that condition, God always sends a revival in simplicity and brings things to the right place. He said, that's right. That's what we need today again, is simpleness. He said, that's what the nation needs today, is a simplicity of faith in Christ, that we can surrender ourselves to Him unselfishly with our whole heart, our soul, our mind, and all that we are, we can give to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just simple. You don't have to learn nothing about it. Just believe that Jesus died to give you every blessing. He died to give you every blessing. Then if He did it, it is yours by faith. As soon as you pick up that hyssop faith and apply the blood, something will happen in your heart and every woman that does the same. So there, you know, we've read now there's childlike faith and there's complicated faith. But we want childlike faith. A childlike faith is somebody that simply believes God's word. They receive God's word. You know, complicated faith tries to figure it all out. Tries to make it add all up. Tries to make it be something. Childlike faith is a faith that trusts God's word immediately. Doesn't matter if there's a sign. Doesn't matter if there's if there's no more symptoms. It does not matter. It trusts God's word immediately. But complicated tries to have. It requires a full explanation before it goes into action. Amen. We don't want complicated faith. We want a faith that when we hear the word, we believe the word, we receive the word, we apply the word. Amen. So, and then, you know, childlike faith, it runs to the Father first. And, you know, complicated faith, it runs to everything else first. Trying to figure things out. Amen. A simple faith, as in Psalm 62 and verse 8 says, pour your heart out before Him. Complicated faith bottles everything up and tries to work on emotions. And instead of pouring your heart out to God and knowing He's a good Father, that He's not going to give me a serpent, He's not going to give me a stone, but if I knock and I ask, I'm going to receive what I have asked for. Amen. Amen. So it also is, childlike faith is also, it obeys before it sees results. The other waits for visible evidence. Amen. You know, because, you know, childlike faith is like Abraham. The scripture said Abraham went without knowing. He didn't know what the results were going to be. He just believed he has a good father. Amen. Right? I believe we have a good father tonight. Amen. I believe he's got our best interests in mind. Amen. And so, but the other one, you know, the other faith or other complicated makes it complicated is we want a full itinerary before we move. Amen. But that ain't the way God works. God doesn't hand out itineraries. Anybody got an itinerary? What tomorrow's going to be, and what it's going to bring, and what trials you're going to face, what sickness in the next month, or what problems, or what this? Nobody's got that itinerary, but that is not childlike faith. Childlike faith is walking, amen, believing that whenever I get to that moment, God's already got provision for me. God's going to be there for me. I know He's not going to let me down. He's not going to let me fall. He's not going to let me, amen, fall away, but God is going to be there for me, and He's going to pick
pick me up if I happen to fall down. Amen. So a childlike faith at rest in God's character. Amen. It's not worried about outcomes. It's not worried about complicated formulas. It's not asking what if. It's saying, Father, I trust you. No matter what the situation, I trust you. Why? That's your Father. Right? Amen. And a child has a connection, of course, with his father, and he realizes the father is there for his good, not for his detriment, not to see him hurt himself, not to see him fall, not to see him get bruised and broken and unrepairable. No, a true father, amen, is there to protect the child, is there to help the child, is there to nurture the child, is there to make sure the child's going in the right directions. Amen. And I believe our Heavenly Father does that for us as well. So a childlike faith is centered again on who God is. He cannot lie, he does not change, and he will not fail. And so because of that, our faith can remain simple. It don't have to get complicated. It don't have to ask, what if I fail? What if this doesn't work out? What will people think about this? See, complicated faith, it magnifies uncertainty, where childlike faith magnifies our Father. Amen. We're not here to magnify our uncertainty or magnify our problems or magnify the situation around us. But childlike faith is saying, that's my Father there. Amen. I remember, I believe it was Brother David Seiler told this at a Watch Night service. And hopefully I get the story right. I'm just coming off the top of my head now. So forgive me if I don't get it all right. But he said there was a young boy that was fishing or something on the banks of the Mississippi River. And his tugboat started coming, or some kind of boat. And he started hollering at, hey, pull over. And there was other guys around him. Oh, this big old boat pulled up right up there. And he was like, how did you do that? And he said, well, my father's the captain of the ship. Amen. There was a connection there. There was something there. Amen. That he could call in his time of need. And he knew that was his father on that boat. And if his father saw him and he saw him crying out and he saw him asking for help, that he was going to be there for him. And let me tell you, your Heavenly Father is the same way. Amen. You might be on an island somewhere feeling like, or on the side of a bank, and your boat's broke apart or whatever. But God is the captain of a ship, and he wants to hear you cry. And when you cry, he's going to respond to you. Why? Because he is a father. Yes. He cares about his children. But now, childlike faith is not childish or immature faith. It's not childish faith. That's not what Jesus was saying, because Paul would actually bring it through the scriptures. And he'd say in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So Paul says childish things must be put away. So what are these two scriptures warring? No, they're not warring against each other. Hang on a minute. In Hebrews 5, he says, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. So, spiritual maturity is expected. So, Jesus cannot command immaturity. He cannot be commanding immaturity when he says, become as little children. He's not asking you to be immature. He's not asking you to just always be on a bottle of milk. That's not what he's talking about. Childlike faith does not equal childish or immature. That's not what it is. But what Jesus is saying, the disciples were arguing, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? Who are you going to put here? Jesus was addressing humility. He was addressing dependence. He was showing, you got to be somebody that can trust me. Whether you ever be the greatest or not, you still trust me. Whether you ever be the greatest minister or not, you still trust me. Whether you be the greatest whatever or not, you still trust me. Whether you got $1 million or not, you still trust me. It's not ignorance of a child or staying in the lack of growth or emotional instability. That's not what we're talking about. Childish faith, immature people, immature Christians, so many times are easily offended, or as a child is emotionally unstable and tossed to and fro. This is what he says in Ephesians 4:14. He says, be no more children tossed to and fro. That's instability. So that's not what I'm talking about in childlike faith. Childlike faith is mature trust. is stable, that God's character never changes, so I can trust His character. He's not going to hand me a stone when I ask for bread. He's not going to give me a serpent. He's not going to do that to me because I'm His son and He's my Father. So I can trust Him. And it's humility. It's someone who's dependent upon Him. And Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust the Lord with all thy heart. That is not immaturity. That is confidence. I can trust Him with all of it. I ain't got to hold some of my heart back. I can give all of Him. I can give all my heart to Him. It's a deep trust. You know, Moses lifted, as we've been going through this, Moses lifted his hand showing dependence. Joshua, he marched without a stitch of evidence. Martha, you know, removed the stone at Jesus' word. Amen. They were not spiritual babies, but they were mature believers acting in simple trust. You know, immaturity is finding it hard to trust God. You're always wanting the element of control. How to control situations, and you got to be in control. It's being unstable and double-minded. That's immaturity. But childlike faith is a strong trust. It's a stable confidence. It's a deep humility. It's a childish faith. You know, it lacks depth, but childlike faith has depth, but it keeps things simple. It's simplicity. The strength is not in complexity or understanding everything. The strength is having confidence in God's character and that He's your Father. You know, that's why I've used this example before. I'll use it again. You know, over in the old church, especially, we don't really have it here, but over in the old church, we had Brother Tim's, his office was in the fellowship hall area and became the admin building. And there's a lot of gathering and stuff took place. And so his door is right to it. So it had a little sign on there that says, if you'd like to see Brother Tim, how many remembers that little sign maybe? You'd like to see Brother Tim, please see a deacon and, you know, all that, because he's studying, getting ready for service. But, you know, that never applied to me. Right? I just go on in. Why? That was my father in there. Sister Karen, she didn't go see a deacon to go see him. She just went right on in there and seen him. That was her husband in there. It was a different relationship, right? I knew if I went in there, now I understand there might be times that he had something going on, but usually he locked the door. So if the door was unlocked, it was okay, right? For me. Now, you might have had to go see a deacon, but I trust you wasn't offended by that, because why? You wasn't his son. You wasn't his child. You wasn't his daughter. You wasn't his wife. Amen. You know that there's different relationships and different things. And you know, I don't go to other boys' fathers and treat them like my father. I have a father. We all have a father, right? Amen. And so I would go there, not even knock sometimes. And I'd go in there and I didn't call him Pastor T or Pastor Tim. I said, hey, Dad, how you doing? Why? That was my father. And I could ask him of things, and I didn't have to worry about him being angry, mad, and handing me, get out of here, get this stone, get this serpent. I'd never come out of there with a serpent. Never come out of there with a stone, amen. Why? That was my father. Amen. I could knock, I could ask, I could go before him, and we got to get that same thought about our Heavenly Father. Amen. It's a special relationship. Others may not have that relationship. Others may not be able to do that, but you can, because you are a son. You are a daughter. You can go boldly before the throne of grace. As a child, amen, believing that he's going to fulfill his word. So childlike faith is not shallow faith. It's actually a very deep faith, but it refuses to become complicated. Amen. It's a maturity that is learned. I don't have to understand everything. I just have to trust my Father. People get, you realize sometimes they're not as mature as they think they are sometimes, because they get angry at God because things don't turn out the way they thought. Things didn't happen the way they thought it was going to take place, or this whole, and they become angry at God and start turning their animosity towards Him, and really it shows your lack of trust that He is in control of every situation. He's in control of every. He said a little sparrow couldn't fall to the ground. A gnat can't bat its eye. Amen. Why? He's in control of every little situation. He knows all about it. He just needs somebody that'll say, as a child, I trust you, Father. Daddy, I trust you that you are in control of this situation, whether I can add it all up and I can make it all make sense. It doesn't matter. I know God is in control of every situation. And I can trust him. So when we go through this next quote, I want you to understand this is not a childish thing. As far as childish or immature that Brother Branham's teaching here, he says, you know, they have never been able to scientifically find a better way for a baby to get what he wants beside crying for it. You know, they can't educate him to grunt. They can't educate him to talk that quick. But you know how he gets it? He just takes God's provided way. He cries for it. He yells, he kicks, he screams until he gets it. That's right. That's the only way, is to cry for it. They can't find a better provided way than God's provided way. That's right. Just let it go. God's provided way is the best way. They don't know how a better way for the baby to get in what he wants than to cry for it. As Dr. Bosworth said, the baby that cries the loudest gets the best service. I like that. The baby that cries the loudest gets the best service. And that's about the way it is. I'm going to go ahead and just being open here tonight, I guess, because I'm going to tell one of my stories I've heard about me my whole life. One of my dad's favorite stories. Maybe I ought to get him up here to tell it. I was being a child, being childish at home as a little boy, you know, and it was like 4 years before Lydia came along, so I was the only child for a while. And so anybody came to visit, I'm pretty sure they came to visit me. So apparently I was showing out, kind of got some vague memories of parts of this, but anyway, maybe just the story that produced the memory in my life, because I heard it a lot. But anyway, I was showing out apparently, and so Dad told Mom, go put that boy to bed. And so I was in there, and I said, apparently started crying, you know, and acting up because I didn't want to go to bed. And he finally said, look, if you make another peep, I'm going to give you a whooping. And so got quiet in there for a minute. And then after a bit, I said, dear Jesus, I'm so thirsty. And I want some water. And I want it cold. Guess what? I got me some cold water. Amen. Sometimes you just got to cry out for it. Sometimes you got to just cry out for it. Listen, the baby that cries the loudest gets the best service. That's about the way it is. That goes for God's children. So I can parallel that for you. He said, man gets up there and says, you know, chewing his gums. Well, you know, Father, I'm here tonight. If you want to give me the Holy Ghost, all right, I'm here. But if you want to heal me, I'm sitting here. If you don't, why, all right, it's your will, Lord. It's your will, Lord. Well, he's done, wrote the will out here in the Bible. This is your will, all right? This is his will right here. And if you want me to have it, I'll have it. But nevertheless, if you don't, why, it's all right. You'll never get nowhere. That's right. He said, but let one get out there and begin to cry out as a child. Come on, somebody. Amen. Like Buddy Robinson, he stopped in the middle of a cornfield and he tied his own mule and he said, Lord, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost, when you get back, you'll find a pile of bones laying right here. I'm going to stay here until I get it. That's the business right there. God always recommends his believing children always go in his provided will. That's God's idea. Amen. Why? Cry for what you have need of. He wants you to cry out. He wants you to speak. He wants you to ask. Sure. Could he do it? Yes, but he wants somebody to ask. Amen. He has that desire in him to be a father, so he wants somebody to ask him to fulfill his word. He wants somebody to ask him to bring the healing. He wants somebody to ask him to give the whole. He wants somebody to ask. He said when Peter started walking on the water, he thought he was getting along all right. See how big I'm now? Look at me. And he started sinking. He didn't say, well, I guess I failed and went down to the bottom. A few bubbles came up and that was all of it. See, no, he cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And that eternal hand reached down and picked him up again. Why? He cried out. He said, that's what's the matter with the church. We don't lay long enough. We don't cry out long enough. We don't hold on to it long enough. He said, if a little baby wants something, he'll kick, scream, turn red in the face. We're afraid. We'll take what is called mascara off our face or the paint, or we'll lose this, or we'll lose standing. We'll lose all kind of things, mess our hair up. But that don't make any difference. No, sir. God don't expect us to come to him with some intellectual speech. I remember I tried it one time, he said. I tried to get saved. I wrote a letter out. He said, I was so ashamed. I didn't want to do it, but I had to. And here I wrote it out and said, let me see. I've seen a picture of Mr. Jesus. Let me write it out. I wish you would come here a minute. I want to talk to you just a minute. I'm listening. You know, nobody said I did it wrong, right, whatever. Mr. Jesus, Mr. Jesus. And he's writing this all out. I folded my arm. Mr. Jesus, would you come here? And he said, of course, in the middle of all that, the devil comes right there and he says, see, there wasn't no need of you asking. You just wait till tomorrow. Maybe he'll do it tomorrow. See, he's always around when you're not ready. He said to me, you know what? You're already 19, 20 years old. You waited too long. I said, oh, God, I waited too long. Lord, even if you don't hear me, I'm going to tell you anyhow. I always want to do this. I want to give my heart to you. And that brought him on the scene. It wasn't no intellectual speech written out. No, it was when the devil tried to put thoughts in his mind. He said, I used it against him. And I used what he said. I said, Lord, I may have waited too long, but I still got to tell you, I want you. I want to serve you. I want to live for you. And he cried out, and that brought him on the scene. Come on, somebody. It's time you start using those demon thoughts against the devil. He puts them in there. Won't you turn them right back on him and start crying out to God? Yes, Lord, I may be unworthy. Yes, Lord, I may have done wrong. Yes, Lord, I may have waited too long, but I'm still here and I still want you. I still need you, God. I still want the Holy Ghost. I still need healing. You're my Father, and I know you're going to bring it. See, he said, just simple. Cry out, Lord Jesus, you promised it. And he came on the scene. That's the way to bring him. He said, you're just a baby. Cry out for it. Don't try out to say, well, something or another, you know, some wrote out prayer. You practice for an hour or two. That don't do no good. You know, like they say, did you say a prayer? He said, no, it's a sin to say one. You pray one. Don't say one, pray one. Say a prayer for me. Don't do that for me, I said. You can pray for me, but don't say no prayer for me. Pray for me. He said, but the thing is, cry for your needs. That's God's provided way. Jesus explain it when he said to the unjust, about the unjust judge, to the woman that cried day or night, how much more will the Heavenly Father give them the Spirit who cry for it day and night, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking, just keep on until he opens, stay out with it, cry until the promised word is vindicated. Have you ever seen a child like that? Have you ever, I'm amazed. I don't know if the mama or dad gets, they hear it so much, I guess. But you hear a child, mama, 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 mama. Man, you'd about to drive you crazy. Somebody answer that kid. Mama, 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 mama. Sometimes they get a head change. Mary! Call them by their name. What is it? There's something in a child that's persistent. They got a need, and they need it answered. Amen. It ain't complicated. It ain't hard to get a hold of. I got a need, and I need it answered. So I'm going to knock, and I'm going to keep on knocking. I'm going to ask, and I'm going to keep on asking. If I have to come 50 times to an altar, I'll come 50 times to an altar. If I got to kneel down 100 times, whatever I got to do, I'm going to get my need answered. I'm a child, but he's my Father. He's going to answer me. May not be all the time in the time frame you want, but as long as you're there, he says in his word, knock and keep on knocking. It's a continuation, right? He said, if a little baby sees a cookie and he wants it, he'll cry and cry and cry, kick and scream, holler and turn red in the face. His mama give him a cookie and it's all over. See, he got what he saw and he wanted. If he wants to lick off your ice cream cone, he'll just keep raising a fuss until he gets it. That's the way we're supposed to do. Well, I thought we were supposed to be mature Christians. Well, we are. But we're supposed to be mature Christian with childlike faith. That believes you're going to get an answer. If you'll stay there, it'll happen. If you'll keep believing, it's going to come to pass. He said, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. If I see the promise in the Bible that's God's word, then I just stay there and cry out until God gives it to me. He'll do that to get you off his hands, see? That would be in the natural. But he's wanting you to do it. He likes for you to ask. Ask abundantly that your joys might be full. Cry until his word is vindicated. This is what he said. They're going to go through. The angels are going to go through marking those that are sighing and crying for the abomination that's done in the city. Right? So he's looking for somebody that is crying out, that is looking for the fulfillment, that is not just asking and walking away and saying, well, if it happens, it happens. Must not be the Lord's will. This is his will. So it is his will to heal you. His word is his will, so it is his will to heal you. It is his will to deliver you. It is his will to save you. His will. Trouble of his, he said, we'll get a cookie and think that's all there is. He said, there's a whole jar full of them. A whole table full. We'll get so we can speak in lots of tongues. Well, brother, that's it. Oh, no, that ain't it. That's some of it. That's right. Oh, I got happy enough to shout. There's some more of it. There's a whole lot more of it. Just keep on crying out. That's God provide a way for his people. God's provide a way is to take his word and hold on to it until it's vindicated to you. Hold on to that promise until he makes it manifest to you. Now, God recommends this way also to his baby children to cry, his believers to cry for what they want. That's right. Cry for him for your needs. You don't need intellectual speeches. Somebody said, well, now I tell you, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, they're talking about this divine healing, that kind of stuff. I tell you, it isn't for today. It's for another. I can explain it. It's for another time. He said, listen. He said, a real, genuine baby of God won't pay no attention to that. He'll scream and yell and kick up his heels until he gets a vindicated answer back that the promises of God are for real. Because man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Amen. He cries and cries until that word of promise is vindicated. Some of them say, well, you can't receive the Holy Ghost. There's no such a thing. See, they tried to tell that years ago. Listen to this. They tried to tell that years. They're still trying to tell that. That there's no such a thing as speaking in tongues and prophecy and all these great gifts that God promised the early church and gave to them. Well, them days are past. He said, you think that stopped the hungry-hearted people? No, they took a hold of this word and they knew that the Bible said, the promises unto you and to your children, them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God called. So they stay on their faces and cried and begged and kicked up their heels and screamed until God poured out the same Holy Ghost upon them as he did them to them in the beginning. What is it? It's God's provided way. It's God's provided way. Amen. They believed it and God provided it for them. He said, you know, you can come to me and say, Brother Branham, I'm broke. I didn't have no supper tonight. I want to know if you had a dollar you'd give me. See, you don't have to say to God if you got healing power. He has it. But you might have to ask me if I got a dollar. But you don't have to ask him if he's got healing power. He's got it, right? He said, see, but Brother Brandon, would you give me a dollar? I need something to eat. Well, of course I would. He said, if I had it to give you anytime, I would have a horrible heart if I didn't. Me being a cruel, sinful man, and me being cruel, sinful man would be a good-hearted to somebody like you. What is God? What would he be? He said, me being a sinful, cruel-hearted man would give you a dollar. What will God do? He said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Heavenly Father give them the Spirit that asks for it? If you ask for a fish, will he give you a serpent? Ask for bread, will he give you a stone? Certainly not. Why, if you'll just ask him in that way with faith, believing, you will get it from him a million times quicker than you'll get anything from me. Wow. A dollar. Healing, deliverance, Holy Ghost. He said, if you will ask him in that way, what way? A child way. Ask, believe. Stay there until you receive it. With faith, believing, you'll get it from him a million times quicker than you would get anything from me. You know, Hagar, as we know, had a son by Abraham. And she was put out of the camp there as they, you know, the story. I don't have time to get into all the, but you know the story. And she walks out of that camp maybe with a bottle of water and a little basket of bread and went out into the wilderness. The water was all spent. And the baby started crying for water. She took the little fella and put him under a bush and went about 150 yards, a bow shot, they said, the Bible says, and knelt down and began to cry. She couldn't stand to hear the baby crying for water and dying in that condition. Well, remember, the Bible said that the Lord heard the child. Why did he hear the child? Because he's the seed of Abraham. Amen. God hears the cry of the children of Abraham. And I thought, God, if you can hear the cry of a child of Hagar, the bondswoman. Come on, somebody. The bondswoman. He heard the cry of that little baby, of the child of a bondswoman, but still the seed of Abraham. Amen. A child that was trying to bypass the promise that came another way that wasn't the will of God. And he heard that cry. How much more does he hear the righteous seed of Abraham's cry? Amen. Here he is. He said, and God hears the cry of Abraham's children. And if you're in Christ tonight, you are Abraham's seed. He said, notice he never heard Hagar, the woman, the mother. She was very religious, but he never heard her. The covenant wasn't with her. It was with Abraham's seed. He said, if I could get that drilled into you, God is obligated to you. God is obligated to you. He swore by himself and he made a covenant unconditionally between Abraham and his seed forever. And ye are Abraham's seed if you are of Christ. And if you're dead in Christ, you're Abraham's seed or heirs according to the promise. And the same promise that he made Abraham is ours. Oh, that ought to make anybody get well right now, he says. Hallelujah, because if God could hear the seed of a bondswoman, how much more could he hear the seed of a free? How much more could he hear the seed, his righteous seed, his righteous Abraham's seed, the seed of Jesus Christ being born in this generation? How much more can he hear you when you cry out? Amen. He said that ought to make everybody get well, to think of it. You are the seed of Abraham. He never heard Hagar cry, but the scripture said he heard the cry of the child. And he told Hagar he had heard the child crying in misery and want before he heard Hagar praying. See, that selected, elected, chosen people that's real Christians. And then to see that Satan will get in their intellectuals and cause them to suffer and to be taught that the promises for some other age, when it's all of Abraham's children has that promise. He said, would you give your little girl a glass of water and give the next little girl of yours a glass of milk if they were both starving and you had milk to give? No. Would you give one a rock and the other serpent? Said Jesus, no. As long as you're Abraham's children, God swore that he would confirm this covenant with you, and you are his child. Therefore, you have a right to these things. You have a right to God's blessings, the redemptive blessings that Christ redeemed you for and gave you. Amen. Every redemptive promise, they are your privilege to have as a son or daughter of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we make faith so complicated. Well, if I can just get enough faith. He said the faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed. If I held it here, you couldn't hardly see it between my two fingers. It's such a small seed. If you just had that size of a faith, it'll move a mountain.
That's right.
Right? Amen. It'll make demons tremble.
That's
it ain't great, big, powerful. We got it in our minds sometimes. We got to have faith as big as this building or bigger. No, it's just simple faith to take God at his word. So that's my daddy speaking to me. He don't lie. So I can trust him. Amen. And then apply it. And Brother Brown would go through this over and over. It's the teaching all the way through the message, and especially into the token about the hyssop being a common weed. Just common. So usually it grew in the cracks of the building, little bush, little white flower on it, maybe just common. Can be found anywhere. So what was that speaking of? Faith. Hyssop. Faith. Just so common. Listen to it. Just so common. He said, do you think you have to have some supernatural faith to get something from God? You do not. Amen. Just common faith like you have right now. Apply the blood. Amen. So you remember at the night of the Passover, they took the hyssop and sprinkled the door. Put it on the door and the lintel and everything above post of the door and over the lintel. And he said, whatever, they sprinkled the blood by hyssop. Simple, childlike faith. He said, if you're sitting here now and you've never met Jesus in your life, just apply that simple little faith that brought you to the building tonight. You don't have to go to school. You don't have to know great theology. You don't have to have some great long creed. Speak names at once that's given, and speak names that the one that's given it to you doesn't know what it means. The only thing you have to know is to know Jesus died to save you. His blood washes you white as snow. Your sin debt has been canceled. Simple childlike faith. He said, if you're sick and you see the working of the Holy Spirit, don't think you have to, oh, Brother Jones, pray for me to have more faith. You already got it. Amen. You already got it. Just take the simple hyssop weed found anywhere and apply the blood. God, oh God, that's it. Nothing superstitious, not some fandangos you go through. That isn't it. It's just simple childlike faith and apply the blood and believe it with your heart and it will happen. Hallelujah. You know, and the Catholics want to turn it over and make it all complicated that you got to cross so many steps, you got to say so many this, and you got to have so many roads to breathe. Hey, no. That's complicated. Jesus paid it all. That's simple. I ain't got to figure out how to come up with nothing. I ain't got to figure out what to do. He's already done it. I ain't got to figure out how to be healed. He's already done it. I ain't got to figure it all out. God's already made the way. He's already paid the price. It's simple. Faith is so common that when you look at it for something is a little unusual. We go way over the top over it many times, trying to find out what it is, and it's right next to us. He said in the Old Testament, when blood was applied over the door, he said, I told it was put by hyssop, dipped in the blood, rubbed over the door, just a common weed. That's how it's applied, by hyssop, something you can reach down anywhere and get a hold of it. Hello. So that tells me it doesn't have to be in some meeting. Amen. You can reach down anywhere and get a hold of it. You can be in your house. You can be at your job. You can be wherever and you need it. And all of a sudden just reach down and grab a hold of it. Say, there's the promise. I believe it. It's done. You say, how appropriate is that tonight to apply hyssop as faith? You put the blood on by faith. How we're covered by blood, by faith, common faith. Well, you say, well, but for miracles and for healing, Brother Brown, that's some different type of faith. No. It's the same faith. There's only one faith. But it's just a common weed, he says. You try to work up faith, you can't work up a faith. Faith is so common. It's the same faith you get a drink of water with. It's going to bring it very childlike now. It's the same faith you get a drink of water with. It's the same faith you drive your automobile with. How many had to work up the faith? I guess I can ask this. To drive here. I guess it depends on if your car is dependable or not, right? Might have had to work up a lot of faith. Come on, please, Lord, and let this thing crank. Probably if you was driving a Ford. But anyway, no. I'm not one of them guys. But anyway, you may have had to pray a lot to get here. I don't know. But if you had a good, dependable car, you didn't even think about it, right? Sometimes you're shocked when it don't crank up. What's wrong? Battery, you know, you left the keys on or something, whatever, and you find it out and you fix it and go on about your business. But it's such a common thing that we don't even think about when we put our keys in the car. Don't even now have to even put keys in the car. You just push a button, yeah. Right? I mean, as long as the fob's there, you just push the button. But it's just so common. And we come to church and we don't even think about it. This is what he's talking about. And somehow we get into church and we got to work up some kind of mystical faith somewhere. No, it's common faith. He said the same as you get up, go get a drink of water, the same faith you drive your automobile, just as common. Hyssop you can find growing on the ground, the cracks of a building. And when they applied the blood with hyssop was applying faith. You apply faith just common, apply the blood with just a common thing like weed faith, he calls it. Weed faith. And we're trying to look around and say, well, if I could just find an orchid to apply my faith, apply the blood. If I can find a rose bush, maybe. What if I believe in Jesus? If I could just reach out there and I could get an orchid, and you don't need an orchid. Take the weed that's right next to you. Take the faith that you go home with. Take the faith that you brought here. Apply the same thing tonight and watch what'll take place. And let me tell you, you're not dependent on something that's going to break down on you. You're not dependent on somebody that on the start 90% of the time. You're not dependent on somebody that's only, their word's only 99% good. Or you are dependent on somebody that's faithful. And he ain't just faithful, he's faithful to the end. You don't have to worry about it when you push the button if the power's there. It'll be there. Because he's a God. We can depend on him. So take that same kind of faith. You say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I'm pulling out all these thoughts. I'm pulling out all this thinking, everything out of the system. Just by ordinary faith, I believe you to be my Savior. I believe you to be my healer. And he says, watch what will take place. See, again, the blood tonight is applied by simple faith, not something that's just supernatural somewhere. It's right everywhere around you, simply like a child. Reach out, get a hold of it, and apply the blood. Hyssop is just like a simple childlike faith for the believer. It isn't something out of your reach. You don't have to reach very far to get it. Hallelujah. You don't have to reach very far to get it. He says again, he says, this hyssop was just common weed. Hyssop means your faith. Somebody tries to have supernatural faith many times. You say, that's the reason you miss your healing. Faith is just a common thing. You got faith to come to church. You got faith to walk out of here. You got faith to start your car. You got faith to eat your dinner. That's just common faith. Now apply the same faith. This is the blood with the same kind of faith. Showing the faith that the blood is to be applied by is not some super thing you have to have some kind of doctor's degree to do it. It's just common, everyday faith to believe God, apply the blood, and watch what takes place. The worshiper seen beneath this blood showed he had carried out Jehovah's request and he was identified. The token showed he's identified with the slain lamb that Jehovah required. The work is done. Musicians can come. Just like this right here. He said, I was speaking last night. He said, there was this little German woman not long ago. She had received a prayer call. He said, he used to send handkerchiefs everywhere. And finally had to get down to just send little ribbons because there were so many requests. And so he sent a little ribbon to her. She got the instructions and they interpreted it to her. And she was in Germany there, and so they had to interpret it. It said, how to first call your pastor. And if our pastor can't come, find some good Christian that can come, maybe a family member or somebody in the church. Confess all your wrongs if you want to, and have them anoint you with oil. Lay hands upon you. You shall recover. He said, then take this little piece of cloth and pin it under the neath garment. Lay your hands on it and tell God that you serve him the rest of your life. And if he will let you, if he'll let you get well. And then when you do that, each hour, the old sacrificial hour, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time, that's when I'm praying at the same time. We'll go around the clock and around the world. God can't ignore that. And he said, this little German woman, She did what she was told. She got somebody to lay hands or anoint her with oil, lay hands on her and pray for her. She pinned that thing under her little blouse there. She had arthritis now for 20 years, bound in a wheelchair. He said, it was kind of cute, you know, it's sensitive. But she said, when she put that there, she said, now, Mr. Devil, you can't hold me no longer. So just get out of here. Here I come. And out of the wheelchair she went, and away she went walking. Now that's just simple, but that's how simple faith is. Just do what the Word said, and the Word will do what it says. Just believe what it says. Believe and apply it to your life. And when you have followed it, and when you have given your all, and you've laid it all down. Now, Mr. Devil, you gotta go. Come on, somebody. Maybe there's somebody here that says, Lord, I followed your word. I followed after your word. I believe what you said. And I'm just grabbing a hold of the faith that I've learned tonight. It ain't out of my reach. It's common faith. And I'm applying the blood to my life. Now, Mr. Devil, get out of my life. Mr. Devil, get out of my life. Sickness, get out. Amen. Every kind of sin, get out. Whatever it is, get out. I am a child of God. And I believe he's my father, and I know he's my father, and he hears my cry, and the word will be there to back me up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, see, you apply what you heard. Take the blood and apply it. Just like you eat, just like you drink, just like you walk, just like you drive your car, just like you talk. Anything else is just that simple. But when you go to thinking, oh, how can I do it? Can I do it? You're going plumb way back from the main thing. You've got to come back to simple, childlike faith. Just believe God. Just believe God. And say, God promised it. It's my possession. Christ died for it. It's mine. And just go right ahead and believe it and don't think nothing else about it. It's all right now. It's all over. Hallelujah. Well, let's just do that. Say, God, you promised it. Come on, say, God, you promised it. It's my possession. Christ died for it. It's mine. It's all right now. It's all over. He's the healer. It's his word. It's his will. It's his promise. I'm just going to take simple faith and apply the blood over it. And that blood is speaking for me tonight. The blood says I'm healed. The blood says I'm delivered. The blood says I'm free. Hallelujah. And I can apply it with faith as a little child. Let's stand together. Worship the Lord. Oh, yeah.
I believe. Oh, yeah. You said it. It is done.
Impossible to see a miracle.
He's been my fourth man in the fire.